Today's episode of the podcast is brought to you by A Wrestling Historian. Follow A Wrestling Historian on Instagram for your latest dose of pro wrestling history. Follow A Wrestling Historian on Instagram today. Follow A Wrestling Historian on Instagram today.
The upcoming presentation is a two-man power trip of wrestling podcast production.
What's up, guys? It's the phenomenal AJ Styles. You're listening to the two-man power trip.
Hey, Johnny. Cool, man. What's going on? We ready to go or what?
Welcome to the latest podcast. I'm your host, JP John Paz. Of course, joining me, the former WCW and WWF head writer, former WCW World Heavyweight Champion, Vince Russo. Vince, welcome back. How are you doing today, sir?
All right, John. What is going on, my friend?
Man, it's funny with all the Cody Rhodes stuff, and obviously you were just talking to Davey LaGreca, but it's funny, though, the We Want Cody, is that a large segment of the audience or not? Because it seemed like it was a big segment of the audience.
You got two audiences, John. The marks, the hardcore wrestling fans, the niche audience are 100% behind Cody Rhodes. The casual audience could give two shits about Cody Rhodes. That's the truth. The casual audience wants The Rock.
Yes.
Okay. The niche audience does not want The Rock. That's the difference. The sides are completely reversed.
Crazy. The Rock, you know, you would think versus Roman is the big money match, but they're not doing it.
Weird. Because they're letting the tail wag the dog, bro.
Thing that I don't get, and I think Conrad and LaGreca, they all had this argument. They said, well, their building is already sold out, so it's great to have Cody and Roman in the main event. But don't you want to get more pay-per-view buys, if you will, or more people ordering Peacock? Like, wouldn't The Rock help that way? Wouldn't it be better to have The Rock in the main event?
I think absolutely, bro. Absolutely. And that's what the masses wanted. But, bro, they've been letting the tail wag the dog for a very, very, very long time. This is a company, bro, that thinks Sami Zayn is over. The casual fans look at Sami Zayn and say, what was this dude, an Uber driver? they literally, bro, because the hardcore marks, took in Sami Zayn, embraced Sami Zayn. They think Sami Zayn is freaking over. Meanwhile, you got the casual fans. If they watch Gunther versus Sami Zayn at WrestleMania and Zayn goes over, you got the casual fans saying, you honestly want me to believe this? It's two completely different audiences, bro, and they've decided to cater to an audience they already have, which makes no sense to me, John. John, you and I know with the audience they already have, as long as wrestling is in the name, as long as wrestling is on the marquee, they're going to watch. You got those people, bro. Those people ain't going anywhere. You got to go out and get the masses that are no longer watching wrestling. That's why the Attitude Era was so popular. I knew we already had the wrestling marks. They weren't going nowhere. How do we draw in the people who aren't necessarily fans of wrestling?
I like Cody, and I like finishing the story and all those stuff, but I just thought that could be done at a later date and time. This is WrestleMania. The Rock is money. The Rock is the most mainstream. Yeah. Yes, you already sold it out because it's WrestleMania, but the tickets, that has nothing to do with it. The Rock or Cody, I mean, it's WrestleMania. It's going to sell out. The amount of people watching it and the media coverage with The Rock in the main event, that amps it up. Him in a tag match, I mean, it does okay, but him in the main event versus Roman, I think would have done Rocketbusters.
I agree 1,000%.
And all they had to do, right, and which they did it last week on SmackDown, The Rock's about to say, if you smell what The Rock is cooking, Roman says, whoa, wait a second. You need to acknowledge me. And then And like, now we're rolling. Now we're, and then build it from there. Now you're cooking. And that's not the direction.
Yeah, and that's what the casuals want to see. That's what they want to see, bro.
And no offense, it just feels like, and I feel like Cody can be like a main event player for sure, but Rollins, he does not fit in. No offense to Seth Rollins. He does not fit in with those three guys at all.
Diarrhea, Dwayne.
That was bad.
Whoever came up with that should have been fired immediately. Whether it was Rollins, whether it was a writer, I don't care who it was. How does something like that make it to television, bro?
So that was bad. I actually texted a wrestler and I said, does this mean he's out of that match now that he had that big of a swing and a miss with that catchphrase? I'm like, no, he's still in the match. But obviously I was joking, but it was funny. It was like, it was that bad. I was thinking like they might pull him out of the match.
Oh my God, bro. Like seriously, bro. I always think of like something like that. Like I always put myself in a position and I'm like, I can't even comprehend as a writer, if I would have handed something like that to Austin, like I couldn't even imagine like what that would have been like. Like, my God, bro, come on, man.
You'd get that classic Austin death stare. Like where
he would definitely have thought it was a rib without a shadow of it. He would have laughed. Oh, nice rib, Vince. I mean, that's what he would have done. And then I would have said, oh no, Steve, I'm serious. I really want you to say this. Oh my God, bro, please.
Remember years ago they had Roman when they wanted him to be like the John Cena corn babyface? Yeah.
Yep.
Right?
But see, bro, that was 100% Vince. As soon as Roman said that, I'm like, that is Vince. This diarrhea, Dwayne, was not.
And Roman even like looked at the camera and winked. It was like, somehow I pulled that one off or said something, meaning like to Vince, like, hey, I actually said it, you know?
That was horrible, bro.
I swear to God, the only saving grace,
John, I got to tell you, the whole idea of them changing the main event because of the Cody crybabies and all this shit, the only saving grace, John, and like, I know the old WWE would have done this, but I don't know about this new regime. To me, the only saving grace is if Roman goes over. If Roman goes over, it will be phenomenal, bro. I don't, like I said, bro, the old WWE would have done that out of spite. Okay, all right, you want Rock out of the main event and Cody in? Okay, no problem, we'll do that, but guess what? Cody's losing. The old WWE would have did that in a heartbeat. I don't know about today.
Honestly, I mean, he should finish the story technically, I guess, storyline-wise, but I wouldn't mind Roman winning and holding it for a while longer either. He's the best guy by a mile.
I mean, bro, think about it. If Roman wins it because The Rock screws Cody, that's a legitimate out for The Rock. I mean, for Cody, that's a legitimate out, bro. The Rock screwed you. Bro, now you can go to Cody and The Rock.
Yeah, yep.
The only problem is I don't know who Roman's opponent would now be at that point. You know, maybe Punk comes back. I mean, I don't know. But you could have Rock screw Cody. That would not hurt Cody at all. Then, you know, the hardcore Mark fans would really want Cody, and Cody's got to go through The Rock before he gets back on track with Roman Reigns. There's nothing wrong with that, bro.
Hey, I'm in. I like it. Plus, people can go back to the obsession that Roman's going to beat the Hogan record, which isn't really the record for the title. Bruno has the record.
Yeah.
I love when people say, like, oh, you got to beat Hogan's record. Hogan, what Hogan? He doesn't have the record. Technically, people think he's in third place. He's actually in second because Backlund, technically speaking, lost the title in Japan to Inoki. Then they gave it back to him, and his title run was 4 days less than Hogan. So Hogan's in second place. I know they said, but that's all into the weeds, but it's not Bruno's record. And Bruno held the title for almost 8 years.
I know, man.
What do you think about that? Roman beating that record. What do you think?
Yeah, bro. Like, here's the thing, bro. Like the other day, somebody put up a graphic where we saw all the title defenses and Roman. So I mean, bro, are we really comparing apples to oranges? You know what I'm saying, bro? All the time Bruno and Hulk defended that title, and Roman's got like 40 titles. Like, come on, bro. What do the days really matter?
Right. Of course.
You know what I mean?
I love Roman, but I mean, Hogan, I mean, it's on another level. He's a god there. And if you look at the guys Hogan defended it against, holy crap, Piper, Savage, Andre, Valentine, Morocco, Orton. I mean, just all these awesome.
Orndorff, Fundy, Stud. You name it, bro. You name it. Yep. You
even throw in Bossman and Kamala and Slaughter, like all these guys. I mean, just levels above.
Absolutely.
To quote Roman Reigns, levels above. Now, as far as today.
You know, it's funny, John, because I swear to God. John, how old are you now?
41.
Yeah, you're still a young man. You're like 22. You're like 22 years younger than me. But it's funny, John, because the more I see like these people just carry on social media about wrestling and shit, bro, I'm starting to realize more and more, bro, they didn't see what we saw.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Like, bro, they read about Hulk Hogan and they didn't see it. When you saw Bruno and you saw Hulk and you saw all that shit, then you're looking at today and you're like, man, this really pales in comparison. But unless you saw it, you don't know, bro. You know what I'm saying? I mean, bro, I swear to God, I'll never forget, you know, John, like, you know, growing up with Bruno and bro on cable vision on Long Island, you would get the Monday night garden shows once a month. And bro, they had it set up. Vince Sr. had it set up so beautifully where, okay, bro, this is the night Bruno's losing the belt. Like every month you believed this is the night. And then bro, there's Bruno. And what would happen, John, every single time? They'd make him a bloody mess. Oh my God, it's over. And then like just covered in blood, he would make that comeback. Bro, if you didn't see that stuff, you don't know what's good.
I totally agree. People will go back. I mean, if you lived it, Hulkamania, the Hogan era, set off everything you see today. If they're profitable, it's because of Hogan.
Absolutely.
I mean, completely set it off. And then people go back and say the Attitude Era. You had to live it and watch it every week. You know, you're going to school like, oh, what happened? Yeah. This happened. Oh, I can't wait till next week. You had to live it. You can't go back and rewatch it or watch it again or even watch it for the first time 20 years later and go, oh, I didn't like this. You had to have been there.
Yeah. Bro, I remember with the WWE with Hogan. Bro, remember out of nowhere, they pulled it out of nowhere. They booked it like in a couple of days. Remember, I think it was Tuesday night in Texas.
Yep.
Didn't Taker beat Hogan like out of freaking nowhere? And then like
Survivor Series, he beat him and Hogan won it back at this Tuesday.
And like 5 days later, bro, that's the funny thing, John. It's like, I don't even remember what year that was. It was definitely 1980 something. What year?
No, 91.
Was it? 91. How many years ago was that?
33.
Bro, I remember that from 33 years ago. I don't remember what was on Raw Monday night, bro.
I know, it's pretty bad. Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
I mean, it was all like, especially with Hogan, bro, like every single thing was just larger than life. It was nothing was going to be small with Hulk Hogan. Nothing. Weird, bro. Yep. The MTV connection. It was always big.
And then if you look at it, you never thought you'd see that again. But then Steve Austin, and he was maybe not equal to Hogan, but almost, you know, if not equal, very, very close to Hogan. So crazy that it happened again.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Yeah. But like I said, man, if you didn't see that, you're ignorant. You just don't know, bro.
Yeah. I hate that when people are like, oh, I watched it in 2023. Like, no, you need to watch it in 89 when it happened or whatever, you know, you needed to watch it then.
Yep.
So speaking
of the good old, I know you're the biggest far and away Hulk guy that I know. Yes. And bro, you know me, Bash at the Beach and all that bullshit. I respect him more than anything. I don't have an issue with him whatsoever. I know his impact on the business. No, nobody has to tell me, bro, because I lived it. I lived it. So I know firsthand that he freaking took this thing alone and made it mainstream, period, end of story. So I understand all that. But I got to ask you, bro, I've never asked you this before. What was your greatest Hulk Hogan moment?
Ooh, that's a good one. It's weird because I feel like 89, like 87 with beating Andre at WrestleMania 3, yes, loved it and everything, and that epic, and even going back and watching, it's epic. But for some reason, 89, I was so maybe overly obsessed or so into Hogan and the mega powers, the mega power exploding. When he beat Savage at WrestleMania 5, that, I don't know, for some reason, that always ranks maybe at the top. I just absolutely love that whole feud, them building it up for basically over a year, and then the culmination of him winning the title back. That might be my favorite Hogan Savage, WrestleMania 5, just because it was like almost like obsessive at that point. And then, of course, WrestleMania 6, when he loses the Warrior, I hated it for so long because he lost. I'm like, you get it. He was upset. I can't believe he lost. But I think WrestleMania 5, maybe.
I was there for 5, bro. I went to 4 and 5 because, I lived on Long Island and they were at Trump. And bro, WrestleMania back then wasn't what it is today. It wasn't. But yeah, bro, I think WrestleMania 4, they had that tournament.
Yes.
Is that? And then I went the following year to WrestleMania 5.
Which is great because even then they were teasing Savage and Hogan because Hogan helped him win. But he was a little skeptical. Why are you looking at Liz? Like, he could tell he was not trusting Hogan. Yeah. So even they're building and laying down the groundwork for WrestleMania 5 at WrestleMania 4, which was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, that was great, bro. Yeah.
Those were the days.
They were the days. Yeah. That's why Dave LaGreca was just talking to me. And I brought up, the attitude here. And I go, screw the attitude here. The attitude here is overrated. I said, okay, Dave, then let's talk the WrestleMania 1 through 3 years. Let's talk that, bro. Because John, as the writer of the Attitude Era, I say WrestleMania 1 through 3 era was the best era in wrestling. Better than the Attitude Era, bro, because you have just larger than life, bro. And that's when it really started becoming mainstream. And bro, that's why, John, they used to freaking use the tagline, WrestleMania, what the world is watching. And the world was watching, bro. And it was those 3 years is what made wrestling what it was, without a shadow of a doubt in my mind.
The Hogan era, baby. The best. Yes. Yeah. The Attitude Era, overrated. Is LaGreca nuts? What the hell?
Yeah, and then he's talking to me about the storylines today. I'm like, bro, what storylines are you? I watch these shows every week. There are no story. What are you talking? Bro, you know what it is, John? There's been a lack of storylines for so long.
Because people forgot
what storylines were. Like, you were just talking to me, bro, all about that Midian stuff. Bro, I vaguely remember that stuff. But, bro, stuff like that happened every single week.
Yep. Someone just said to me that I think, because I like some of the current stuff today, but they said because Vince was so bad for so long, if Triple H even does a little bit of storytelling, we think it's great because we haven't seen it in like 20 years.
Bro, the bar has been lowered. I mean, there's no question about it. But to me, bro, a storyline isn't a story that revolves around wrestling. You know what I mean? And like every story today revolves around wrestling. There's no outside, you know, it's all, I want to be you. I want to be the best. And then LaGreca used as an example, Gunther's streak. And I'm like, that's a story, bro.
Just that the guy's been winning matches. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's not a story, man. That's a guy. Nobody's beaten a guy for 3 years or whatever. That's not a story. But anyway.
Yeah, we don't really have a background on Gunther, like more of a character development thing either. So it's definitely not a storyline. It's just him winning matches.
We know nothing about the guy, bro. Like you brought up that great point, John, about, you know, Vince, as much as he freaking hated the heels, I mean the baby faces, he had to give them what they wanted because of what they were doing to Shane. That showed an emotional side of this calculating, maniacal, you know, cold-blooded maniac that at least he cared about his son. Little things like that, bro, make the people real. That's what what makes Gunther real. We know nothing about him. We know he's from Germany because he's got an accent. We know he's won, you know, however many matches in a row. Okay, bro, what else do we know about him?
Yeah, he's a good wrestler. That's it. Yeah, we don't really know.
He's a great wrestler, but you got to make me care about him, bro. Like I said, John, they just had that big gauntlet match, and the winner gets Gunther. Now, bro, I am a fan of Gunther. I like the guy a lot. I think the guy is tremendous on the mic. Definitely top three. But, John, the reality of the situation is I don't care whether Gunther wins the title or not. You know what I'm saying? You've given me no reason where, like, my God, bro, when you go back to when it was Hogan and Warrior, it was like, holy shit, like, Who are they going to put over? Like, you know, Warrior had his millions of fans and it's just gone. And the thing is, John, I don't want to sound like, you know, I'm bitter and I'm this and I'm that. My thing is, John, there's no reason for it to be gone. You know, you still got good television shows on television. You still got, you know, movies and TV shows that are written well. There's no reason why you can't have that in wrestling. The problem is you don't have the right people employed to do that. That's the problem.
It is interesting. And some of LaGreca's comments, interesting. Attitude Rated, overrated, great storylines. I don't know. I like some of today's wrestling, but comparing it to like old school wrestling, now kind of crossing the line there, Dave. Come on, what are you doing?
Whatever, bro. He did admit he was a mark, though. I said, well, bro, I'm talking about casual fans here. I'm not talking about marks that are going to freaking love everything. Right. You know, that's what I hate about wrestling marks, too, John. Because, John, I'm like you. You know, I know you're New York Giants. I'm a big baseball guy. And, John, we're marks for our team without a shadow of a doubt. I bleed black and orange. I know you with the Giants. But here's the difference with us, bro. When our team starts sucking, we start cutting promos, bro. I mean, right, John? Like when the Giants are 4-10, I'm positive, bro, no matter how big a mark you are, you're not sitting there putting them over. The coach got to go. I'm the same exact way. Bro, when you're a WWE mark or an AEW mark, no matter what they do, it's great. It's great. No matter how low the rating is, bro, it's not the fault of the show. It's the fault of the people that didn't watch because the show was great. That's what drives me crazy about the wrestling fans. Bro, it's not going to be a home run 100% of the time. So they're going to do stuff that sucks. If they do something that sucks, say it freaking sucks. Bro, Meltzer goes on there every week making excuses every which way from Sunday why the AEW rating was low. Bro, could it have been low because the show sucked? You know what I'm saying? I mean, John, come on. Like when the ratings come in for Monday Night Football, if the ratings are low, it's because the game sucked.
Yes.
But they'll never say anything their company did sucked. That's what drives me crazy, bro.
Yeah, that's a weird thing. The excuse is, oh, it didn't calculate the overrun or whatever they're going
to
say.
always, bro. Yeah. Bro, the other day, I swear to God, I was cracking up hysterical on Castrating the Marks because, bro, prior to the Super Bowl, right, there was a Puppy Bowl. You know the Puppy Bowl, bro.
Oh, yeah.
Bro, yep. The Puppy Bowl beat AEW in the ratings, and Meltzer was trying to make excuses, bro. Meltzer was trying to make excuses for puppies. I'm like, oh, bro, you've sunk as low as you could possibly sink, bro.
Hey, my six-year-old daughter loved the Puppy Bowl.
The Puppy Bowl, man. Yeah, Puppy Bowl's over, bro.
I forget. One week he said that, oh, because of some NBA game. So I, you know, of course, checked to see what the NBA rating was, and it was terrible. So I was like, how did a crappy NBA game like affect the, you know,
he brings up the NBA all the time, never mentioning what the game was.
Right.
Yep. Bro, it's going to depend on the game. If it's a shitty game, people ain't going to watch it.
Yep.
Crazy, bro.
Too many excuses. It is what it is. Too many excuses.
It is what it is. Yeah.
But let's talk about the good old days. Let's talk about 1999, the Royal Rumble, January 24th, Anaheim, California, from the Arrowhead Pond in, of course, Anaheim, California. 14,816 people. So almost 15,000 people in attendance. The buy rate, get ready for this one, 650,000. Not a WrestleMania. This is Royal Rumble, 650,000.
So that's a good number?
Huge, yeah.
Okay.
Yep. One of the best ever for
the Rumble. And that's Vince in the Rumble, right?
Yep.
Vince and Austin 1 and 2?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, come on, bro. Like,
and the tagline, no chance in hell, which Vince coined that phrase right there. You got no chance in hell.
Yeah.
That was great too, because not only does he coin that catchphrase, that song comes about, yeah, and everything, the no chance in hell, but then on top of that, he goes, I'm putting $100,000 bounty anybody who helps eliminate Steve Austin.
Right. Right.
People, bro, hate him, but he's awesome, Vince.
Bro, how good was he?
That, exactly what I was going to say. It's like, you can hate him all you want now, but he was one of the best characters, if not the best character.
Forget about like in that role. Forget about, I'm talking about across the board, who the frick was better than Vince as a performer?
That's tough, because Austin is awesome, but like to have Vince as the heel going up against Austin made Austin that much better.
Oh man, bro. You'll never see another figure like that in wrestling. You'll never, bro. Never, ever, ever, ever. Because that was a gift from God. That's what Vince was supposed to be doing. That was it, bro. And you'll never see anything like that again.
And just the way he handled himself, he would do anything. Like, remember, he peed his pants because he was scared. Then he could be really angry.
That was his idea, John.
Really?
That was his idea. John, here, I swear to God, you would not believe this. But, John, I got to tell you. You know, bro, I produced Dixie Carter. You know, I produced Jeff Jarrett at TNA when he was the TNA champion. And bro, especially Dixie, when she was an on-screen character, John, she was such high maintenance. And, you know, as owner of the company, she should have been aware of that. Like, you know, it's not about me. Bro, when she was an on-air character, everything was about her. And the day of the show, bro, she would want my full attention for like the entire day. Bro, all my workings with Vince McMahon as a writer and a producer. I would get together with him one time, go over what we were doing. That was the end of it, John. No changing anything, no debating anything, not taking any of my time because he knew I got to go work with all the other talent. Bro, it was literally every show with Vince, 10 to 15 minutes. And all that really was, bro, was a prep. So he knew what things we were doing in what order. That's all it was, bro. But never changing, rewriting, second, nothing, bro. The perhaps, without a doubt, the easiest talent I ever worked with in my career.
Wow, Vince. Wow. Vince,
absolutely, bro. No ego. He came to me with the pee in his own pants. I mean, the easiest talent I ever had to work with.
And one of the best. I mean, it just, even though him delivering simple lines like $100,000 bounty, like,
yeah.
Because you could tell he hates this guy. He does not want Austin winning the Rumble. He just absolutely hates this guy's guts. He's going to ruin the company.
And then there were just so many loopholes to get him back in the fold. Like when Linda brought him back, like just when Vince thought he'd won, there was another, it was great stuff.
And then even now he hates Foley because this guy's a stain on the very existence of the WWF.
Right, right.
And then he's funny, like, in my benevolence, I will give you a shot at certain things.
Right. Bro, I swear to God, John, the funniest thing is, like, I review the Attitude Era show. Keep in mind, it's only 2 hours. John, when I'm done reviewing that show, I've got 8 pages of notes. Wow. I do a 3-hour Raw. I'm lucky if I got a page and a half. And it was because of what you said. I got to write down so many of Vince's lines because they were freaking incredible. Bro, there is no chance in hell I could have wrote those lines. Those were 1,000% Vince. And oh my God, bro, they were just incredible, man.
And even the way he delivers that, there will be no chance in hell.
Right, right.
And the way he says hell is like, hell. Yeah. You know, he really gets into it.
We do the Master Shoot Theater, bro, when, you know, Ben does Vince, and he does that voice all the time, and it just freaking cracks me up every time, bro.
Man, he was the best.
He was the best, bro. What you know, that's why, bro, I think of all this shit now, and I'm like, bro, what did you do?
Right.
What did you do? What a legacy and all the positive things you did for what did you do? You know, bro, that's why to me, it's like, it's just so disappointing to me, bro, because like you said, as wrestling fans, this guy was such a great performer and oh my God, bro.
So leading up, obviously, Vince gets screwed by Michaels before the corporation completely takes Michaels out of the game and beats the crap out of him. He makes Vince number two, and of course, Austin is number one. Austin defeated Undertaker at Buried Alive match at Rock Bottom to get himself in the Rumble, but Vince screwed him and made him number one. We were joking around that they picked his number twice, and he got number one twice. Right. Oh, no, you know, like by accident, he got number one twice, obviously screwing him over.
Yeah.
Michaels puts Vince at number two, so that means who's going to be number 30? They have the DX corporate Rumble itself for the number 30 spot, which was on the January 11th Raw, which was won by China.
So see what I'm talking about? All that stuff is so good because you're not expecting it. You're not expecting it, bro. Then when it happens and it settles in, now all of a sudden what kicks in is, holy shit, what are they going to do? Are they going to put China over? You know what I'm saying, bro? That's why you got to hit them from every different angle, bro. You got to keep them off balance because that's what keeps them watching.
So just go over the dark matches in Sunday Night Heat real quickly here. Christian defeated Jeff Hardy in 11 minutes in the dark match. In the Heat match, the Job Squad of Bob Holly and Scorpio defeated Too Much, Brian Christopher, and Scott Taylor in 4 minutes. And then even Mankind, interestingly enough, set up by Vince to try to maybe soften him up a bit for his championship match later on against The Rock. Mankind defeated Mabel by DQ in 5 minutes. So just kind of softening him up. But interestingly enough, Mabel would play somewhat of a big part later on in the Rumble with The Undertaker, who beforehand was promising basically a sacrifice.
And also, John, you just talked about, you know, bro, having Rock, you know, night two in a match, you know, and the, you know, people buying Peacock, and now we've got to watch it. Bro, that's exactly how we use Sunday Night Heat. We're trying to sell the pay-per-view that's happening in an hour. That's what we're trying to do. That's why Mick Foley's on the show. But that's why, like you said, you know, today, like, oh, okay, bro, you're not going to have Rock in a singles match or wrestle. Okay.
I don't know if it's maybe a bit of a misstep on that one. Yeah. To start off the show, Big Boss Man defeated the Road Dogg in almost 12 minutes. So a little bit of a longer match, but a good one. And Boss Man gets the win, obviously kind of teasing that the corporation, it's going to be their night.
Yeah. Setting the tone. Yeah. And that's when Boss Man was doing like the more of the black gimmick, right?
Yep.
The modern day of his old character.
Yeah. Yep.
Man, bro, I got to tell you too, like, again, going back and watching this Attitude stuff, man, bro, nobody sold like Road Dogg. He sold his ass off. Yeah, bro, you know what it is, bro? It's, bro, like when you're a member of the Armstrong family, you're just going to be better than everybody else. That's why, like I said, bro, I really believe like with the great ones, it's like it's in the genes. Like if you're one of the Armstrongs, you're going to be a polished professional. And, man, I always appreciated Road Dogg, bro, because of his mic work, and that's why he was absolutely tremendous. But you watch any match he was in, he sold his ass off, bro.
Obviously, another thing too, and I know I mentioned this a lot, he's a lot bigger than you realize.
Like he is a lot bigger. Yeah, yes, he is, bro. Yes,
so for him to be that big and selling like that,
yes, absolutely. Yep.
Any kind of talk on Boss Man, just what you thought of him, because I loved, he left WCW, wasn't doing much there. I know they Dungeon of Doom, then NWO, and he was out of the NWO. It's like he wasn't doing much there, but when he comes back to WWF, he's in considerable better shape too. But it's awesome because Vince, remember, he's on the wheelchair and he needs security. He needs somebody to watch his back. The Stooges aren't doing a good job. So you get Boss Man, you're like, oh shit, who is that under the mask? And you know, then you realize it's Boss Man with the nightstick. You're like, oh shit, like that was a little cool thing you might not pick up on, but like that was awesome to do that and bring him back.
I'm gonna say me, bro, I was a little bit worried because, like you said, bro, you know, at WCW they turned them into nothing. You know what I'm saying? So now when you're bringing them over, like, you know, you have that concern, are the fans gonna react? Because for so long they did nothing with them. But then again, bro, When you know how to write and you know how to produce and you start from scratch all over with the Boss Man, you're gonna make him mean something, bro.
Love Boss Man, big Boss Man.
What a guy, bro! What a guy! What a freaking guy!
Great to hang out with in the back end.
Oh, bro, the nice, bro. You know, like they talk about Southern gentleman type thing. That's who he was, bro. What a guy! What a guy!
Just a love Boss Man. And he definitely got in better shape from WCW when he got in WWF. I felt like he's like, all right, I want this one last big run here in WWF.
Yeah.
Whose idea was it to put him in the corporation? Was that Vince or was that you putting him with, like, making him his bodyguard?
Bro, I hate to say this, John, because, you know, people are going to whatever. Bro, we wrote all that shit. I mean, Vince never said, you know, like it wasn't a case. Okay, Ray Trail is coming back and this is what he's going to do. It just was never that way. We had to present Vince with what we wanted to do. Because like I said, bro, Vince, you give Vince a blank piece of white paper, he cannot fill it out. You give him a complete show. You give him something to work out. Oh, okay, now he's going to tweak this, tweak that. But from scratch, you had to tell Vince, well, Vince, what about if we did this with him? So Vince never really, you know, gave the original idea. He always had to work off of what we presented.
So basically JR is like, hey, I signed Big Boss Man. And you're like, yeah, okay, he's going to be with Vince. He's going to be his bodyguard. Which makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
So continuing on the theme of some dominance from the corporation here, Ken Shamrock, who's the Intercontinental Champion, defeats Billy Gunn via submission in about 14 minutes and 20 seconds to retain his Intercontinental Championship. Val Venus even tries to interfere unsuccessfully, and Shamrock still ends up getting the victory via the ankle lock. What do you think about that?
I would have to think, bro, you tell me, I would have to think that was probably a really good match.
It was pretty good. Maybe not as good as it could have been. I actually almost think Boss Man Road Dogg was better, but it wasn't bad though at all.
Yeah. I'm just saying that, bro, because you really had two pure athletes.
Yeah.
Yep. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know, bro. Maybe, I don't know. I was going to say maybe the size of both guys, but yeah, you had two pure athletes there, man. So I would have thought that would have been a good match.
So the Outlaws, back-to-back matches, they lose, but they're in singles matches. And it seemed like 1999, especially into WrestleMania, you were definitely giving them single pushes. Like one would be Intercontinental, one would be hardcore, and then kind of go back and forth with it. Did you want to break the Outlaws up and just have them be singles wrestlers?
No, not really, bro, because they were so, so over as a team and so over a part of DX. We wanted to have good matches, bro. You know what I'm saying? So think about it, man. If they're in a tag match, that's one match. If you split them up, now you've got two matches. So that's what it really came down to, bro. They were both over, and we wanted to get them in matches.
It does seem like, obviously, they're super over, so it is good, you know, separate them. But it does seem like maybe a little bit of a winning streak for the corporation, a bit of a losing streak here for DX. Like, everything seems to be going in Vince's direction for this show anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Next up, though, changing a little bit of DX's favor here, X-Pac defeats Gangrel to retain his European Championship. The match goes 6 minutes. Good match. If it was even longer, I think it would have been even better. But good match here. X-Pac pins him and gets the win over Gangrel, retaining European Championship.
Bro, I just watched the Attitude Era show on Sunday, and it was the debut of Gangrel, David Heath. Oh my God, bro! That debut, he was like vicious, and I don't remember that, but I watched this first match and I'm like, holy shit, like he was definitely on the top of his game. So I can imagine this being a really good match.
Very good. I almost wish it was longer, basically, because X-Pac is great. But Gangrel, I feel like when you think of Attitude Era, you know, everyone always goes, oh, Val Venus, Goldust, Godfather. I a lot of times I think of Gangrel because that was such a cool and perfect for that era as well.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. Yep.
Any thought of giving him like a big push or anything like that, or it was never on the card or never on the table for him?
Oh, you know what? You see, John, here's the thing. I think it's like all perception, because even at that point, bro, like David Heath was a journeyman. You know what I'm saying? He wasn't young, bro. Back, I guarantee you, bro, back during Gangrel, I guarantee he was probably like 34, 35 years old then. So like he kind of came in as a journeyman, and I hate to say like that's how he was perceived. Because like we you know, he'd been around for a while. We knew he would give a hell of a match. But I just think because he was always perceived as somebody that had been around for a while, maybe he really didn't get his just desserts.
And here X-Pac gets the X in the winning corner, if you will. They lost the first two, but at least, you know, they're winning this match.
Yeah, yeah.
X-Pac, ever thought of giving him a bigger push, like world title, anything like that? I mean, he had world title matches, but never world champion ever? No.
See, that's why I got to tell you, John, like I look at today's landscape and it's a completely different story. Like you and I just said 15 minutes ago, well, who would be Roman Reigns' opponent? There's not even an opponent. The problem back then, John, was there were so many guys on top. You know what I'm saying? Like, I guarantee you today, you could put, if X-Pac were in this era, you could put him in main event title matches. But
Bro,
when you've got Taker and Kane and Mankind and Austin and The Rock and Triple H. I mean, bro, as good as X-Pac is, what are you, 8 in the pecking order? That was the problem, bro. There were too many people that were over.
It's true. Definitely. Now, next up is Sable and Luna Vachon. It's funny, though. Shane McMahon comes out first and says Sable is unfit to wrestle. She's not going to wrestle. So really playing up, because the crowd absolutely loves Sable. Anytime she's out there, I mean, they eat her up. They want Sable on the TV. They want to see her. They want her out there. But Shane, of course, getting super heat, saying that she's not wrestling tonight. She's unfit. But she comes out and says, no, 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 I am wrestling. And it's going to be a strap match, her versus Luna. Any thought of like what's going on here? Or is that just literally just to get some huge heat on Shane?
Oh, yeah, just to get huge heat on Shane. We always, it's funny because, like I said, going back and watching these shows now, some way or another, it's like either Vince is trying to cover up Sable, either Mark Merrow is, everybody's trying to cover up Sable, because that was the heat, bro, like trying to cover up. That is such simple heat. But when you tried to cover her up, bro, the people would go absolutely ballistic, bro.
Another little wrinkle in this, which they teased weeks before, is Tori and her debut. And she's giving Sable like a flower and stuff like that. Like, what is going on here with Tori and Sable? This is very interesting. What was going on? Like, love interest or what?
Yeah,
definitely. Is she obsessed?
Yeah, definitely. Without saying it, she was definitely attracted to a Sable. But, bro, I got to tell you the one thing about this that was so tough. Luna hated Sable.
Really?
And bro, I don't think it was anything personal. I think, Luna being so old school, the Vachon family, think about this, bro. Think about the wars and the matches and the years. Think of all the time Luna put into the business. Now you got this diva who... zero training, no dues, nothing. The top female in the company. The people are going nuts for her. And Luna took her craft like very, very seriously. So I think it could have been anybody in Sable shoes, but because of old school versus this new type of diva. Oh my God, bro, I could not do anything with them, put nothing together unless Mark and David Heath were there. Thank God for them, because they literally had to control their wives so we could do business.
Wow.
Yeah.
And here,
that was tough.
And here, Sable defeats her in the strap match in about 5 minutes. So Luna, not happy with losing.
No. She's not going to be happy with that, bro. Not going to be. And I get it. I totally understand her mindset. But I mean, bro, when you talk about somebody being good for business, Sable was good for business, bro. Like, I'm sorry, she didn't train for 20 years or whatever, but my God, she was a ratings getter.
Yeah, she's money.
Yep. Money, bro, you know?
With that match too, Tori helped Sable win, so something's going on there with Tori and Sable, and Sable kind of got lucky a little bit. Tori's helping her win.
Yeah, yeah.
Shane also tries to interfere. Doesn't work out though. So
yeah.
So definitely now behind the scenes, is she becoming even more of a diva?
Who?
Sable? She become Sable. She coming harder.
Bro, I never had one problem with Sable.
Oh.
Never a single problem did I ever have with her, bro. Now I don't know after I left. I don't know. I wasn't there, but when I work with her, never a problem. Next, bro, do you remember so I'm assuming you watched this recently.
Somewhat, yeah. Yep.
Did Luna get in some good strap shots on her? Or because I got to imagine Luna laid some shit in.
Seemed like it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did always, if you really kind of go back and look, like, yeah, she definitely didn't like her.
No.
And you think it's like an act or whatever.
But bro, I'll tell you what, bro. John, I think I told you this story. She hated Sonny, too.
Oh, yeah.
John, I swear, I think I could have sworn I told you this story, but we were in a portion of the building and there was nobody else in sight. And I'm there and I hear some yelling and screaming. And I look down the hall and freaking Sonny and Luna are screaming at each other. And bro, Sonny wasn't smart enough to shut the F up, because Luna could have like literally, bro, tore her head off her shoulders. So Sonny's giving her the business back. So, bro, there is nobody around. So I'm like, oh, yeah. And, bro, you know, like I'm office. I can't get in something with freaking talent.
Right.
But there was going to be a fight. You know what I mean? So I'm like, oh, shit. So I go over there, bro, and I step between them and I'm trying to separate them. There's nobody else there, right? So, bro, you know when you separate two people? And now that they're separation, the one person's barking, I'll kick your ass. Sonny's barking.
She
doesn't know. Shut the F up. So I separate them. Sonny's still barking. Bro, I am not shitting you. Luna went through me with a spear. Almost freaking killed me. Knocked the freaking wind out of me to get on Sonny, bro. And I'm like, bro, back then, man, I don't know about today's females, but back then, bro, you had women that were the real deal. Like Jackie and Luna, like they could kill somebody. Yeah. You know what I'm talking? Like you really had women that were tough. The Sherry Martels, the Medusas, and man, Luna was as tough as they come, man.
Definitely. Legit tough.
Tough, bro. Yeah.
Next up, we have an I Quit match for the WWF Championship. The Rock defeats Mankind in about 22 minutes. Awesome match. Great stuff. Crazy match, especially now that we know beyond the mat, they were there filming, and obviously his wife and his kid, Mick, his wife and his kids.
Oh, this is the chair shot gimmick.
Put the handcuffs behind his back and does the chair shot. He apparently told The Rock, we're going to do one. The Rock was apparently feeling the crowd and gave him about seven. So unprotected, of course.
See, I didn't know that. Yeah, unprotected, bro.
Foley was mad at The Rock because he's like, I thought we agreed on one, like one unprotected chair shot. Yeah. Rock was going off on him.
Wow. Yeah, that was brutal, bro. That was brutal. Yep.
Was there any sort of heat backstage, like as far as any of this, or no?
Nah, bro. Bro, these guys, bro, if, you know, there was an overwhelming positive response from the crowd, at the end of the day, that's all that mattered.
Yeah, so the they
probably went back there and were ecstatic over the match. You know what I mean? But I remember, bro, I remember, I don't know if it was this match or another one, but you know, not the excessive chair shots, but I remember Mick telling me at one time he wanted to do something where, you know, his opponent was getting heat on him, like right in front of his kids. And bro, the kids weren't smartened up to the business. They were very, very, very young. And I remember saying, man, Mick, do you really, really want to do that? But, you know, because I'm telling Mick from the outside in, but it's like, that's how much he was into his craft. You know what I'm saying, bro? Like, yep. Not even really thinking like, holy shit, my kids aren't smartened up. This could affect them. This could, like, he's not even thinking that. He's thinking about the match. And that's why. So now he's telling me, and I'm like, bro, like, do you have no idea what the impact is going to be on your kids, you know? But that's how dedicated Mick was to his matches, bro.
Then that's exactly what he did here. But considering The Rock hit him so good with these chair shots, he's getting basically a gash open up his head. He's bleeding like crazy. And his wife and kids are crying. They had to leave the arena. They just went to the back. They were crying.
That's bad, bro. I don't condone that.
He had to get staples in the back and his head. And you can tell he's woozy when Beyond the Mat's filming him. He's talking about it. He's like, Rock, I thought we were doing one show. Like, you can tell he's out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
So the thing is, too, Foley had a promo early in the night on Heat talking about, you will never get me to say, I quit.
Yeah.
So, of course, when he does lay him out with the chair and he then does a bunch of chair shots and he's knocked out in the unconscious, he takes the mic, he puts it in his face, and you hear the promo from earlier. He goes, I quit.
Yeah.
That's pretty But how could he quit? He was knocked out. So, obviously, The Rock one-upped him again, which is what he did last month, too. Yeah. Even though he lost, The Rock, well, he technically still retained the title. So he one-upped him. So very ingenious way, because you figure, how the hell is Foley ever going to lose?
Ever, bro. That's very creative, yeah.
Is that your idea?
Yeah. That's great, bro. That's great stuff. I love being reminded of this stuff because, bro, we wrote so many shows, you just forget so much stuff, you know?
When you look at it too, it's like there's no way Foley can say I quit. Rock is totally screwed. And when he wins, you're shocked.
And you would think, bro, they're just going to do the finish where Mick is unconscious.
Right.
That's what they're going to do. That's what you're thinking, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
It was really cool because I was a huge Rock guy. I wanted Rock to win the title back. And I was like, oh man, he's got no chance. This is Foley's match. You know what I mean? Yeah. I quit. Rock's kind of a wimp. And Foley's the toughest guy in the roster. It's like, what? How is he going to win? And then again, great creative. Rock ends up winning by screw job.
Yeah.
So I didn't even think about it because the promo earlier, I listened to it.
And again, that's the thing, John, because every time we're booking, what are we trying to do? We're trying to protect everybody. Yep. So Mick is totally protected in the way he lost this match.
He got screwed again by this corporate guy who was protected by Vince.
Yep.
Great match, though. Great match. I know it's a little violent, a little bloody.
Yeah, I would definitely have a hard time going back and watching that.
Then we have the Royal Rumble match itself. We'll go through everything and all the stuff's going on, but obviously the whole match, Austin is number one and McMahon's number two. That's the storyline literally from beginning to end of the whole match. They leave the arena. Austin is back in an ambulance. You know what I mean? They go back, but everything is surrounded. Do you like that, having the whole match surrounded?
Bro, that's what the people wanted to see. I mean, come on, bro. People that paid for that and the way that was set up, I think that's what they wanted to see.
Undertaker's not in the match, but he did promise a sacrifice, and Mabel, who was number 11 in the match, gets eliminated by Bradshaw, Farouk, and Midian now of the Ministry of Darkness. And with Undertaker, they basically take him, they sacrifice him, and the next day you find out he's Viscera. Yeah. So that was all a part of making the Ministry of Darkness this big faction. Do you like that, having a storyline in the Rumble match and stuff
like that? Definitely. Bro, and again, this is something that's different today. The pay-per-views were part of the storyline, bro. It continued. It was written just like the television show, bro. So the pay-per-view was part of these storylines. That doesn't happen today.
And it's interesting with Mabel. He gets in there and he knocks out Blackman, Severn, Tiger Ali Singh, the Blue Meanie. He knocks out a bunch of people before the ministry does that. So it's like, wow, they took him out after he took all those other guys out.
Yeah. And they could have been watching him to see how impressive he was. And okay, that's the guy we want.
Yep.
Yeah.
So just to quickly, I'll go over this. Austin, McMahon, Golga, draws Edge, Gilbert, Blackman, Severn, Tiger Ali Singh, Blue Meanie, Mabel, Road Dog, Gangrel, Kurgan, Al Snow, Goldust, Godfather, Kane, Shamrock, Billy Gunn, Test, Boss Man, Triple H, Val Venus, X-Pac, Mark Henry, Jeff Jarrett, D'Lo Brown, Owen Hart, and number 30 was China. So that's the order of the elimination. The final four, of course, was Boss Man, Vince, Austin, and then you throw D'Lo Brown in, and then Boss Man eliminates D'Lo Brown. So it's Boss Man, Vince, and Austin are like the last three.
So he's got it. So Vince has his backup, bro. He's got his main man in there, so the rest is smooth sailing.
Yep. Right. Except Boss Man then gets eliminated, so it's Vince and Austin one-on-one. And at this point, you're like, bro, wow, Austin did it.
So Austin eliminates Boss Man. The people probably went berserk, right?
Because it's over. You know what I mean?
Oh, they're, God. Yeah.
Like, in your mind, you're thinking, okay, McMahon is dead.
Right.
He has chance.
I have, as you're telling me this, I have no idea what happens.
It's great, though, because guess who comes out? The Rock. Vince said $100,000 bounty if somebody helps, you know, eliminate Austin. Right. So The Rock comes out. He's teasing with the title. Austin gets distracted. Vince eliminates Austin. Vince is the winner of the Royal Rumble and going to WrestleMania 15 to face The Rock.
That's tremendous. I remember, bro, the big thing about this, and I'm sure Larry, if Larry wants to talk about this on the next show.
Yep.
The big thing about this was, bro, we wanted Vince to go over. But then we had to figure out there's no way Vince is going to WrestleMania.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no way in the world. And that was the hangup. Like, you know, we definitely wanted Vince to go over in the Royal Rumble, shock everybody, holy shit. But we had to figure out a way to get him out of WrestleMania. And I don't even remember how we did it. I don't remember what we did. But I remember like that was Vince's pushback. Like, I'll go over, but how are we getting me out of WrestleMania?
So basically what happens is The Rock comes out the next night on Raw, whatever. And Vince is like, I got a couple of gifts for you. The $100,000, since you helped me eliminate Austin, you get the bounty here. Yep. And he goes, and I'm relinquishing my championship match at WrestleMania. He goes, so you can remain the champion. Yeah. Thank you, Rock. So he's like, you don't even have to wrestle at WrestleMania. Yeah, like basically giving The Rock like a pedestal.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Man, I bet you though, you know, see John looking back like, man, I bet you it would have been even more interesting television if we didn't do that right away. You know what I'm saying? Like, if we really made people believe Vince McMahon is going to main event WrestleMania, if we would have done that for 3 weeks, bro, we probably could have done a lot of interesting stuff.
I feel like it would have built the heat up even more, but I guess maybe he thought people would have been turned off by it. I think it would have been great.
Yeah, no, bro. You know why, bro? Out of respect for the boys. That's why, bro, I always get to this day, you know, bro, with the WCW title. Bro, I won the title because I got speared through a cage. On the very next show, I relinquished the title, just like Vince did here. You're doing that out of respect for the boys. You want to do it, bro, because it's great story. It's a great moment, bro. It's a great story. But again, bro, this title belongs to the boys. So you can do that, but then you immediately want to give it back. And that's why we did it the next night.
And when you look at it, too, the corporation, Bossman won, Shamrock won, The Rock is the champion again, and Vince won. So basically a clean sweep. So everything looks like heel-oriented. Vince is in control.
Back on top, bro.
Back on top.
Back on top, yep.
I love that. And obviously it's going to swing because Foley's going to get another shot at The Rock, which is not good for The Rock. Then Austin is going to have to fight Vince for the shot at WrestleMania at St. Valentine's Day Massacre. Vince has a little
trick
up his sleeve named Paul White, actually. Big trick.
That's the big bump off the cage, though, by Vince, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I remember that.
So a lot of interesting stuff. Would you give this show some thumbs up?
I think so, bro. Like I said, with those two last matches alone,
man, it just storyline wise, you couldn't wait to watch the next thing. Like, wait, Austin just got screwed. What the hell?
And that's the thing, John. Here's the reason why. If, you know, like, forget about great writing and all that shit. I'm not putting myself over that way. Here's the reason why. You didn't know what they were going to do next. That's the reason, bro. You did not know. Oh my God, is Vince McMahon really going to WrestleMania? What's Austin? You didn't know. There was no way you could guess. So you had to watch the show to find out. You, like I said, bro, going back to today's product, everything is telegraphed. Yeah. Everything is telegraphed, bro. So there's no need to watch. John, that's why if you look at the numbers, you know, now the television numbers are the same. SmackDown's taking a bump because of The Rock. Meanwhile, John, the social media numbers are through the roof. Why? Because they're watching a Raw recap on freaking YouTube. There's no need to sit through a 3-hour show. We'll just watch this 15-minute recap to get brought up to speed. That's why their social media numbers are huge, because nobody's sitting through the show.
Or you just do what I do sometimes. I'm watching a movie or I'm watching football or something, and I'll just put on Twitter, and WWE has, you know, 2-minute clips. This is what happened with Cody Rhodes or whatever. Yeah.
It's not must-see TV, bro.
It's true. Back then it was. You had to watch
it. Yep.
Now, Vince, obviously thumbs up for the Royal Rumble here, but let's hit the plugs. You follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Two Man Power Trip. What do you got going on?
Yeah, guys, right now, if you've never been a Patreon subscriber, just go to patreon.com/RussoTWC and you can get a free week of the brand, no obligation, no long term. It's the opportunity to try us out for a week. Patreon.com/RussoTWC.
Nice. Thank you to Vince. Thank you, everybody out there, for listening. We'll see you right back here next time. Have a good one, folks. This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You could follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You could check us out on Facebook. You could subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPTEmpire to become a patron, and also check out the website TMPTEmpire.com and buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies, brother.